This story spans a long stretch of time as ideas about what's normal change a lot. It starts in the 1950s, new suburbs, Eisenhower, the booming middle class. To this day, a lot of people visualize this period when they think about normalcy, which is fine unless you happen to be black or female or LGBTQ.
We know that once a person is perverted, it is practically impossible for that person to adjust to normal attitudes in regard to sex.
This was the period when Paulette de Coriolis grew up. She was raised as a boy, decades before even the word transgender was spoken in public.
Transvestites, wherein the wearing of female garments is that which provides sex gratification for the participant.
Paulette would eventually transition to female well into her 60s. She joined us in our studio to talk about her journey.
You know, I'm old enough to remember Dwight Eisenhower as president. It was a nice time to grow up, except that there was no room for transgender people. And of course, I didn't have any role models as a kid. Actually, the word transgender had not been coined yet. The word transsexual had been. I think I was around 7 when my mom caught me with some of her clothes. But, you know, the term gender identity I didn't come across until much later. So that was my early childhood.
Paulette spent her childhood not questioning those norms. She'd retreat into her basement chemistry lab rather than confront any discomfort about her identity. She left town for college in the early 70s, but struggled in school. So she came back home and enrolled in the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee.
I found the college radio station. I had a couple of shows, a jazz show, a classical music show, and then a talk show. And the talk show was the Gay People's Union of Milwaukee. The chief engineer, I think, sensed that I was different, maybe thought I was gay, and assigned me into the shift where they were. So that was my first experience with, I don't know, I could say it was LGBT people. It was more like just LG, lesbians and gays. And they invited me to one of their business meetings, to their picnic. And it's like, well, if I'm 15 feet away from this picnic group and they're grilling hot dogs and playing badminton, they just look like anyone else. So that was my first shot at normalizing sexual minority people.
Paulette still wasn't sure how she fit into all of this. And she still had few role models. The first cross-dressing person she was aware of was Norman Bates from the movie Psycho. And then in the 80s, there were those daytime talk shows that seemed to put people on display.
Later on, I had seen cross-dressers or transsexuals on TV talk shows like Geraldo, and they were the bunt of jokes. So things like that stuck in my head. I kept it deeply closeted. It wasn't for many years that I went out in public dressed as a woman.
Does that mean that's something that you would occasionally do in private?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
In secret?
In secret. Yeah.
Can you tell me about that?
Well, I would acquire some clothes, dress up, and then decide that it was weird and take off the clothes and feel ashamed. And then eventually, you know, maybe do it again and eventually go through what's called a purge. So I'd throw all the clothes away. And when I met other trans people, it turns out that many of them had gone through the same thing. At some point, you know, I thought, you know, I think I need to see a psychologist or a psychiatrist. So before I went to see a therapist, I came out to my wife. And that was not easy, and she did not take it well. She was very angry. You know, why didn't you tell me before? Well, I didn't know.
Soon, Paulette was living on her own. Throughout the 90s, Paulette did seek therapy and began confiding in a handful of people about her developing gender identity. By the early 2000s, attitudes about sexual minorities were shifting a lot compared with the 70s and 80s. And Paulette finally began to confront those changing norms.
I had kind of ignored them because it was easier to not look at them. But I did find a gender specialist. I also found the Emerald City Social Club, which was a group of mostly male to female crossdressers. However, they were accepting of transsexuals. And my first night there was terrifying, and the second night, not so much. And then every time I went there, less so. After a couple of years, I realized that of the people there, the ones that I was closest to were all transitioning. I wasn't quite willing to accept that that was my identity, but that was coming close.
Then came 2006, which would turn out to be a pivotal year.
I was cross-dressing more and more. I eventually got to the point where the only place I was not dressed as a woman was at work. I was terrified that transitioning on the job would cost me my job. In 2006, I was sitting at my desk when the state legislature passed the amendment to the Washington State broad anti-discrimination policy, and they added sexual orientation and gender identity and gender expression to the law. And I sat there and cried because here was not just an acceptance by other people, but an acceptance by our legislature for people like me. But trans people were still being sidelined or laid off or fired from jobs. And even after the law was passed, you know, hearts and minds changed slowly. So I waited until I retired at age 62. My retirement party was on a Thursday, and on Friday I went full time. It was liberating. It was one of those moments that, you know, it couldn't get any better than this.
After more than 5 decades of not feeling normal, Paulette had begun to find peace. And she says a big turning point came when she started taking cross-sex hormones.
So I started with a low dose of an estrogen compound called estradiol. I rushed home from the doctor with my prescription. And instead of going right to the pharmacy, I went home and scanned a copy so I would have it, you know, to frame. Then I went to the pharmacy, got it, waited for it to be filled, took it out to my car and took the first dose. And it was like, oh, wow. Now, of course, you know, the first dose didn't change me physically or medically. It was all taking that step. I felt home in my skin for the first time. I was no longer the stranger to myself. And not knowing that there was that possibility before, I always thought that that was who I was. But here I was feeling home-centered, relaxed, in a way that I had never been before. It's a simple, peaceful comfort.
Paulette de Coriolis didn't stay retired. Instead, she began a whole second career as a therapist specializing in LGBTQ patients. She lives in Seattle.